Well, Happy New Year. Very good to join with you at the beginning of 2020, and I hope that it's going to be full of blessings for us individually and as a parish. And every year, at the beginning of the year, I pick out a verse from the Bible to be a motto for that year ahead, to give us some guidance and inspiration for the next 12 months. I wonder, can you remember what the motto has been for 2019? I won't force anybody to stand up and say it now, but it came from the book of Hebrews, and it was, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Very encouraging words. Well, this year, as I've been praying and thinking about the motto, the verse that came very strongly to mind was from the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the end of the first reading that we had. And here it is, and as usual, there's little cards with it, which you can pick up at the end. It says, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is an encouragement to be firm in faith and active in service. And I hope that this is going to be very encouraging for us as a group of parishes at the outset of this new year and indeed the new decade of the 2020s. Because there is a temptation for us to slow down and to go a bit soft. And we need encouragement to keep going. There is a law in physics which says essentially that over time things tend to slow down, to grow cold, and to get dissipated and spread out. So, for example, a rolling football comes to a halt, or a hot cup of tea cools down over time. A drop of ink that you put into a glass of water eventually spreads and gets diffused. And there seems to be a law in our spiritual lives as well, that things left by themselves tend to grow cold and slow. I know in myself that without careful attention to my own heart, my faith grows cold and my rate of working for the Lord slows down. And I need this reminder to be firm in faith and to be active in service. So that's what our motto is this year. Let's just think for a minute about those two things, being firm in faith and being active in God's service. So first of all, being firm in faith. This verse says, stand firm, let nothing move you. And it's pretty clear that when St. Paul said that, he wasn't talking about being resistant to change, and he wasn't talking about being unmoved emotionally, but he was talking about being firm in faith. At the very beginning of this same chapter, he says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. So he wants them to hold firmly, to be firm and fixed in faith, in the faith of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, which he says is able to transform our lives if we hold to it. So what is this gospel? What is this faith that he wants us to hold firmly to? Well, he goes on to say, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared. And then he goes on to list all the people that Jesus appeared to. And then finally in verse 11 he says, this is what we preach and this is what you believed. So Paul's inviting us to be firm in believing this factual message about Jesus Christ, that he died and that he rose again. He wants us to be firm in believing those things, firm in the faith. He wants our faith to be based on facts and not simply on feelings. There's a little story that I heard years ago, and it's about three people who are walking along a wall. They were walking on top of a narrow wall, so very hard to keep your balance. And the three people were called facts, faith, and feelings. And they're walking in a line in that order. And so faith, who's in the middle, as long as he kept his eyes on facts and walked the way he was going, then he was steady enough. But if he began to turn around and look behind him to feelings, then he would get very wobbly and be in danger of falling off the wall. The point is, of course, that our faith needs to look to the facts of what Jesus Christ has done and to keep our eyes on that. If we start looking to our feelings as the basis for our life, then we're going to become unsteady, because our feelings go up and down and change with circumstances, with changing moods, with changing weather, whatever it is. And if our faith is only based on what we feel, then it will be wobbly. If our faith looks to the facts of who Jesus is and what he's done, then we can remain firm and steadfast. So if you want to be firm in faith in 2020, keep reminding yourself of the facts of the gospel. Keep your Bible close to hand and read it often. Make sure that you come here to church, and particularly to Holy Communion, because this is a place for the strengthening of our faith as the death of Jesus is presented to us in the bread and wine, so that our hearts may be fed and nourished and strengthened. So be firm in faith. That's the first thing that this motto verse is telling us. But then secondly, it's saying, be active in service. It says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Now, you might read that and say, well, wait a minute. That's a verse for the minister. You know, he's the one who does the work of the Lord. Well, okay, fair enough. It is a verse for me, and it'll be up on my wall, I promise. But it is for everybody. The work of the Lord is something that's done by all of us. If the Church of God was a boat, then it was never designed to be a passenger boat in which we relax while it's propelled forward. It's more like a rowing boat. God's church is like a place where everybody has a hand on the oar or on the paddle to drive the thing forward, all working together in time to keep the boat moving. So what are the works of the Lord that we need to be doing? There's a whole variety of things, yes. I mean, there's preaching work, which again is not just done from the pulpit. Think about the teaching of our young people in Sunday school. Think about the need to encourage one another with the Word of God. Think about the need to gossip the gospel, to spread the good news among our friends and neighbors. So that's preaching work. And then there's pastoral work. Again, that's not just for a few, that's all of us. Looking out for each other, calling on friends and neighbors in the parish, sending a note or a text message to give encouragement to someone, resolving disagreements, healing divisions, keeping together, pastoral work. And then there's prayerful work, one of the most important things we can do individually and in groups, at prayer meetings and indeed on Sunday, coming before the Lord to ask for his blessing upon our church, our community, and our world in these days. In many ways, that's the greatest work of all, the prayerful work of the people of God. And it's something that, wonderfully, we can all do. We don't have to be physically well and active to be engaged in the prayerful work of God's people. And, of course, there's practical work. In a parish, there are hundreds of practical tasks to be done, organizing rotas and programs, cleaning, decorating, handling finances, maintaining the building, keeping on top of regulations around safeguarding or insurance or tax or anything else like that. Then that's not to mention those who help with worship and music, welcoming at the door, distributing newsletters, running organizations, many, many other things. And then, of course, the work of the Lord that we do in our day-to-day lives as well. The job that you might do is not just incidental. It's an important part of what we do for the Lord. When you're out in the fields or in the office or the shop or wherever it is you're working, we do that for the Lord as well. Our schoolwork or the way we use our retirement is all valuable work for Christ. It's our labor for the Lord. In fact, it's better than that, because if you think very carefully about this verse, it talks about our labor in the Lord. That means that we're not just doing things for Jesus, but he's working through us powerfully to enable us to do his kingdom work. He uses us as his hands in the world to do what he wishes to be done, to bring blessing and life and love in this troubled world. And the verse ends with a wonderful encouragement. It says, "You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." It's not in vain. None of us wants to work in vain. None of us wants to do work that's of no use, do we? We've all had the experience of doing some great work and then finding that it's been wasted and it was pointless. I think of a couple of things come to my mind. One, think of the autumn time when you're busy raking up a whole load of leaves and you've got this lovely pile of them all, and then a big gust of wind comes and they're just scattered across the whole thing again. It's been a waste. Your labor was in vain. It's happened to us all, hasn't it? Or I think of when you've got some form to fill in, you know, from, I don't know, insurance or revenue or health service or whatever, and you sit down diligently and you fill in every little box in this form, and you know, you get all the information and it's all correct, and you post it off, and then you get word back and they say, "It was the wrong form. Please fill in this other one instead." And you think, oh, a waste. None of us likes that, do we? We don't like to labor in vain. And perhaps somewhere deep down, we have that worry, don't we? The work that we do for the Lord, the work that we do for God, is it actually just going to be a waste in the end? You know, is it going to turn out that we just spent ourselves and our energy for nothing? But we're reassured here, right here in 1 Corinthians 15. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because we're working for Christ, who's won this great victory. Remember what we heard about the facts? He's died for us and rose again. The work that we do for him is not wasted. We may not see all the results now. There may be much heartache along the way as we try to serve him. But our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's a great encouragement and reassurance to us at the opening of a new year. If we give ourselves to work for Christ, it's not going to be wasted. So as we begin this new year, let's take this verse to heart. Let's be firm in faith. Let's be active in service. Stand firm, it says. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.